it kind of brings things full circle as to youth, to adulthood, and all the baggage that we carry from how we try to rectify, how we try to fix things in our journeys as we go throughout our life. And it was just, it was one of those things that tugs on the heartstrings. It was just heart-wrenching, and I loved it at the same time.
That's Arnold Dahl Woolley from Bina talking about one of his favorite books, Khalid Hosseini's The Kite Runner. It's what we're reading. What we're reading is KAXE KBXE's show all about books. I'm your host, Tammy Bobrowski. Thanks for tuning in. On this edition of What We're Reading, we've got three great debut novels we'll be showcasing. Kylie Reed's story of a young black babysitter and her well-intentioned white employer, Such a Fun Age, is the name of her novel. We'll hear about a clever and lighthearted story about a truth-telling notebook that brings six strangers together. That's The Authenticity Project by English writer Claire Pooley. And Minnesota writer Kathleen West's debut novel is Minor Dramas and Other Catastrophes, a story about a privileged high school, overworked teachers, and micromanaging parents. We'll also talk favorite books with community member Arnold Dahl Woolley, and Kate Winkler Dawson will tell us about the origins of forensic crime-solving techniques. Her new book is American Sherlock: Murder, Forensics, and the Birth of American CSI. Stay tuned.
I ain't fit to be no mother. I ain't fit to be no wife yet. I've been working like a man, y'all. I've been working all my life, yeah. All my life, y'all. All my life, yeah.
Such a Fun Age is a debut novel from writer Kylie Reed. It's been called a story about race and privilege set around a young black babysitter, her well-intentioned white employer, and a surprising connection that threatens to undo them both. Amara Tucker is a part-time babysitter stuck in a bad apartment and a series of part-time jobs while her friends are settling into successful jobs with healthcare and nice apartments. Alex Chamberlain, Amara's employer, a self-made woman who has recently moved away from the stress and excitement of New York City, is now bored and unsatisfied with where she's ended up. While babysitting Alex's daughter late one night, Amara is faced with racially charged accusations, and this triggers events that will make the two women confront their own fears and flaws and find their inner strengths. The story has heart, and through the character of Amara, we get to learn about the modern social and racial issues from a black woman's point of view that will hopefully leave you thinking about how you interact with all kinds of people. I'm joined now by author of Such a Fun Age, Kylie Reed. Welcome, Kylie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Such a Fun Age flips back and forth between two women with very different life experiences in very different stages of their lives. Amara Tucker is an African-American young woman, a college grad working a couple part-time jobs, not really sure what direction her life is going. And Alex Chamberlain is a self-made, successful, driven woman who has moved away from New York after having kids and is now finding herself restless. What else can you tell us about these two very different women?
Yeah, Amara is definitely in that phase of postgraduate, okay, what do I do now? Where she lives in an apartment that she doesn't love. She's watching her friends get promotions and wondering, okay, well, why isn't that happening to me? And, you know, she's eating the same crock pot meal about four nights a week, but she does love babysitting. And Alex is a powerful woman with a really wonderful support group of friends. She has a bit of a nervous energy and tends to overanalyze things. And I think the most important thing is she just moved to Philadelphia and she's lonely. And so I think that her loneliness and the effects of late capitalism have kind of, you know, negative effects on her and the way that she thinks about herself and her relationship to the people around her. And I think her loneliness gets the best of her sometimes.
I've read that you have had experience being a nanny or babysitter yourself for some affluent families in New York.
I have.
How did your experience inform Such a Fun Age?
I was definitely inspired just by the culture of caretaking and the clothes that you end up folding and the foods that end up on your shoes or the little items of a toddler that end up in your bag that you find later on. But I also definitely witnessed really complicated relationships between mothers and nannies and fathers and children. And I've always been really interested in emotional labor and domestic work. And so in many ways, it's an old story of, you know, a Black caretaker and a white mother and their child. But I wanted to explore what that looks like when a cell phone is involved and recording things as they are, and when notions of ownership are a bit complicated and delicate.
Let's talk about this recording that happens. Like countless victims of non-brutal discrimination that occur every day, Amara is the victim of a racial profiling while on the job, caring for Alex's 2-year-old. It's a pivotal scene that triggers life-altering events. What do you hope readers take away from that scene?
First and foremost, I hope that this is the scene that pulls them into the novel. I love a novel that starts with action because I think it's a good way to learn how characters act and react to the world around them. At the same time, I'm not really interested in reading anything that doesn't reflect the world that we live in today. And this is an incident that doesn't include the tragic violence that we've seen so often on the news recorded by cell phone, but it's still really traumatizing. And as a, you know, a human and as a writer and reader, I'm so interested in seeing how huge socioeconomic issues boil down to tiny domestic moments. And I think that that's shown here in this first chapter.
There were some really interesting themes in Such a Fun Age when it comes to how white people view and interact with people of color. We just mentioned the scene in the grocery store with the video recording. So maybe not instances like that or the really extreme racism that we see in the headlines, but let's talk about it on a more subtle note. Your character, Kelly, who is white, is romantically interested in Amara, and he turns out to exclusively date African-American women. And Alex comes across as really desperate in her attempts to try to make Amara feel like one of the family. Can you talk about this different level of racial tension that's going on with Alex and Amara and Kelly and Amara?
Yeah, of course. So I write both Alex and Amara in deep point of view. So everything that you're hearing from their chapters are exactly what they believe. But that doesn't mean that they're accurate all the time, because I think that's how humans are. They see people a certain way. And so I really wanted to, especially with Kelly, have a character who really nails it sometimes. And he's funny and cute and tall and, you know, is really capable of really loving someone, but also can maybe be guilty of fetishizing someone. And Alex doesn't know that for sure. She isn't really, you know, she doesn't know his entire dating history, but that's what she believes. And that belief is a bit self-satisfying. But I do think that characters who have the ability to love someone and also an ability to use them are one, more interesting, but two, more accurate to life. And I think that that's a lot more accurate to how white supremacy can work, which is with a smile often. And I think that that's scarier than a character who's just flat out racist and using someone because Amara would know I should stay away from this person. The characters are really complicated in that way. And Alex is the same way. I think that she truly does have the best of intentions, but when you look at her intentions versus her impact, she can cause a lot of harm.
Another interesting aspect of your characters is this, I guess what I would call the Rashomon effect, that Japanese film where you get all the different truths from the different characters. I thought it was really interesting. You go into Kelly's and Alex's backstory a little bit, and you're actually the creator of the story, and I love how you kind of walk that line between who is remembering the events correctly, whose truths do we accept in this book. I just thought that was really interesting.
That's my favorite thing to go into. Yeah, totally. In grad school, I really got obsessed with how memory works in novels, and especially with a plot-driven novel, how much you give your reader, especially when it comes to what actually happened, which versus how that character saw it happen. And I felt like the latter became much more important. I just wanted to show the reader exactly how these characters replay these moments and nothing else. Because I think in real life, that's all we have. And the way that people work is their memories are shaped by insecurities and jealousies and, you know, wanting to appear really progressive. There's so many things that shape the way that we see things. And so Alex and Kelly see things in very different ways, and I thought it was more important to leave it up to the reader to figure out how they felt about them.
Such a Fun Age is your debut novel, and it was immediately designated a Reese Witherspoon Book Club read, and it got picked up for a film adaptation. How does it feel to have your first novel receive this kind of attention?
It's fairly wild and surreal. To have two women, Lena and Reese, advocate on behalf of this book and storytelling in females is just fantastic, and I'm so thrilled to have that platform. On another level, you know, being on tour and hearing from women that, every tour I've been on or every place I've been to, there's always someone who says, I haven't read a book in 4 years, and this is the one that got me back. And so having that big platform to affect people in that way has been really wonderful. And also hearing from Black women that this is the first time that they've heard themselves in a novel is really touching and kind of reminds me of why I started doing this in the first place.
What's next for you?
Next is the film adaptation, which I'll be executive producing. And I love film, and so I'm so excited to see what this book can do on screen. And I've also started novel number 2, but I'm quite slow, so I'll take a few years for that one.
That's writer Kylie Reed talking about her new book, Such a Fun Age. And here's an excerpt from the book.
That night, when Mrs. Chamberlain called, Emira could only piece together the words, take Briar somewhere, and pay you double. In a crowded apartment and across from someone screaming, that's my song, Emira stood next to her girlfriends, Zara, Josepha, and Shawnee. It was a Saturday night in September, and there was a little over an hour left of Shawnee's 26th birthday. Emira turned the volume up on her phone and asked Mrs. Chamberlain to say it again. Is there any way you can take Briar to the grocery store for a bit? Mrs. Chamberlain said. I'm so sorry to call. I know it's late. It was almost astonishing that Emira's daily babysitting job, a place of pricey onesies, colorful stacking toys, baby wipes, and section dinner plates, could interrupt her current nighttime state. Loud music, bodycon dresses, lip liner, and red solo cups. But here was Mrs. Chamberlain at 10:51 p.m., waiting for Emira to say yes. Under the veil of two strong mixed drinks, the intersection of these spaces almost seemed funny. But what wasn't funny was Amira's current bank balance, a total of $79.16. After a night of $20 entrees, birthday shots, and collective gifts for the birthday girl, Emira Tucker could really use the cash.
Audio excerpt courtesy of Penguin Random House Audio from the book Such a Fun Age by Kylie Reed, read by Nicole Lewis. This is What We're Reading. I'm Tammy Bobrowski. Author Khaled Husseini's novels, The Kite Runner and A Thousand Splendid Suns, are best-selling novels. They're known for being heartbreaking, yet beautiful stories, and they are two of community member Arnold Dahl Woolley's favorite books. Arnold is the owner of the Big Winnie store in Bina. He's also a public speaker and LGBTQ two-spirit advocate. He says The Kite Runner and A Thousand Splendid Suns are heart-wrenching stories that make us reflect on our own childhood and what we have in common despite differences in race, class, and culture. Here is Arnold Dahl Woolley.
The books I'd like to talk about today are by Khaled Husseini, and was The Kite Runner, and also A Thousand Splendid Suns. Yeah, The Kite Runner, there were so many things that happened in this book, and it's basically one man's journey. Well, actually, I would say two. It's like two boys and then one man growing up. And the journey of his life with his friend. And when he reaches adulthood it kind of like when we all retrospect back in time at what's happening, because sometimes our past is brought back to us in the future, and then we have to deal with certain emotions and certain journeys and life decisions as an adult, and then we kind of go back in time to revisit our childhood and revisit decisions that we've made over the years and how we've contemplated dealing with these issues and what we've done over time to handle decisions that we've made when we were young. And A Thousand Splendid Suns. This book to me was heart-wrenching. I mean, both of them are heart-wrenching. A Thousand Splendid Suns was this life journey of this girl. Over, and we have to think about too. It's like, you know, Afghanistan in yesteryear of what, and even today, you know, there probably really isn't a large difference. But what it is to be a girl growing up in Afghanistan and how people perceive them as, and what they perceive themselves as too. So it's like looking through life's journey as this young girl growing up in these turbulent times, and being viewed as property, and what her perception is of herself and other women and other, and how she perceives men, and what her life's journey is behind the burqa. And it was just, it was heart-wrenching and beautiful to see what types of relationships that she would have throughout the years, and to become the type of person that she was in growing up, and to where she took her last breath. It was an amazing story. I do like to go into bookstores once in a while, and it's just, I don't know, it's fun. I think it's fun to walk into a bookstore, and it's kind of like almost like a meditation when you walk into a bookstore, because it's kind of quiet, you know, but, you know, people are having conversations and whatnot. But it has a certain aroma when you walk into a bookstore. You can smell the book, and I think that's fantastic for, because, you know, everybody has their Kindles, you know, and I have my tablets, you know, my phone, you can do everything on, you know, online. But to me personally, this is my personal perspective on this, is when you actually hold the book in your hand and it makes a certain sound, you can hear like this hollow thud, you know, of like the paper and all that. And, you know, when you open it up, the sound that it makes, you know, when you turn a page, like, shh, and then in the smell that it has, it's very therapeutic. And so I like to go in bookstores once in a while, and sometimes they have coffee. I don't drink coffee, but I like to smell it. Once in a while, maybe a cup of decaf, you know. But but I just walked around the bookstore, and I had heard something about The Kite Runner before. It's like, oh, here's this book, you know. So I go over there, and it's like, and I kind of like flip through the, you know, look at the back, and then I'm trying to pronounce the author's name, you know, because it's a different language, and so it's a little difficult at times. But then I'm kind of just like flip through a few things. And I was like, oh, this kind of brought me in a little bit. And I thought, this looks like it might be interesting. And as you read like the first page, and it kind of like brings you in. It's not one of those books where they say, when you stick with it for a few chapters, you know, you'll start to be sucked into the book. It's like, no, it brought me in right away into this story of this boy. And once upon a time being a boy, I guess, you know, you kind of remember what it's like to be a child and what your thought patterns are and how you act. But also this is a child from a different country and a different time. And then what life would be like through his eyes. And because we always think about what would it be like if I grew up over here or over there. And these books really show that what it's like to grow up over here. And it was very interesting. A Thousand Splendid Suns, though, when that one, I got interested in that one just because The Kite Runner to me was so good, and it really brought me into the world, and I learned so much from it. And then A Thousand Splendid Suns is like, I have to read the next book. I have to.
You're listening to community member Arnold Dahl Woolley. This is What We're Reading on KAXE KBXE. Two of Arnold's favorite books are Khalid Hosseini's The Kite Runner and A Thousand Splendid Suns. Here, he talks about lessons he took away from reading these books.
And The Kite Runner, I learned about the culture and the things that were seen as beauty, the perception of what normalcy was over there. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, in introspective, I had to think, was like, well, my goodness, would I have the same perspective if I grew up over there? As the boys' journeys, lives went on, and how difficult and how scary it was over there, but also perceived as normalcy. The culture, the beliefs, how similar it was over here as well, and how different it was at the same time. And it was beautiful. And that's why I seen that things through, like, the architecture, that because it was described very, very vividly. So the architecture and the belief systems, the journeys of life from a boy to adulthood was just amazing to me. I do have a favorite line in the book, "For you a thousand times over." And this was said by, well, his name was Hassan. This was the boy that was a different ethnicity from Amir. And Hassan would have done anything for Amir. And it was, and he always used to say, "For you a thousand times over." And I wouldn't want to give the book away, but it shows up several times throughout the book, and that's one of my favorite lines. And it was a tearjerker, because I did hear it towards the ending. I read it towards the ending, and I also watched the movie too. But it just seeing that, it was just like, oh my goodness! It kind of brings things full circle as to youth to adulthood, and all the baggage that we carry, from, you know, how we try to rectify, how we try to fix things in our journeys as we go throughout our life. And it was one of those things that tugs on the heartstrings. It was just heart-wrenching, and I loved it at the same time.
Yeah,
I would recommend that everyone read these books. Everyone. Going through our own journeys of life, we get confused sometimes when we look at other people, and sometimes people are quick to judge. Why are these people like that? Why are they doing this? For anyone, wherever we go. And these books actually give a beautiful glimpse as what it's to be another person growing up in a different area, and what we would do in those types of situations. What would we do if we were raised over there? What would our decisions be? And how would we perceive ourselves even if we met ourselves in today's time? And so it was beautifully laid out for everyone to follow through. Just to see what the culture, the belief systems, the religion, the values, and how we treat each other and how we perceive other people. I think it was just laid out very well. And then the journeys of these people that are in these stories is amazing. And I think everybody could relate to it in some form or fashion. And if not, you'd have some sort of empathy reaching out to them. It's like walking in another person's shoes. And it was beautiful and scary and heartbreaking, all wrapped up into one. And the journey and what you learn along the way, it's very well worth it. I mean, these are very well-written books, and it brings you in, and you become a different person while reading them. And I think we could all learn something from that.
You're listening to What We're Reading. I'm Tammy Bobrowski. Up next, Kate Winkler Dawson's American Sherlock: Murder, Forensics, and the Birth of American CSI.